Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavigetto, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the Easter Vigil, and the readings are from Cycle B.
Pardon me, a personal observation. Working at Stanford is such a blast. Such wonderful people. Yes, there are Stanford saints here in this church now. Others soon to be baptized, received, and confirmed. Of course, I'm not saying that everyone has achieved some great moral perfection, living a perfectly saintly life, as if we ever could on our own steam. Sanctity is more a journey than an arrival. It is a pilgrimage with the Spirit as our tour guide and transformation. It starts with daily giving God permission to love us. You know, that word saint from the Latin sanctus means holy. You are holy because God has planted himself in you. Our worthiness is God's gift, not our achievement. Your job, my job, is to say yes to the Spirit's action. Just as that the Spirit's action created the world, as the Spirit's action led the people by a pillar of fire to the Red Sea, and again, the Spirit of God, that word that accomplishes all things and feeds hearts. You got to let divine love transform you. Sadly, too many want a risk-free life. C.S. Lewis described what happens when you choose safety and certainty instead of living the Jesus adventure. He wrote, "To love it all is to be vulnerable. Loving anything in your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one. Wrap it up carefully with hobbies and little luxuries, avoiding all entanglements. Lock it safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The alternative to tragedy, or at least to the risk of tragedy, is damnation. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers and troubles of love is hell. God invites us to something else. God in Jesus risks vulnerability. He let his heart be broken. On Good Friday, we shouted no to God. We nailed the Father's gift. We crucify him still by indifference and harshness. What you do to the least of my brethren, you do to me. But on this night, God shouts back to us, yes. Tonight is the victory of God's love over our callousness. And he promises divine life to those who risk a small yes. Tonight is the Father's love letter written in Jesus' resurrected flesh, becoming in Eucharist your flesh. Now it is Jesus' thank you to those who allowed him to love them. That sounds strange. Jesus thanking you for allowing him to love you. Only lovers understand this. We say often that God is love, but we easily forget that the greatest pain for the lover is unreturned love. Broken bones are nothing compared to love rejected. God is a lover, and lovers take delight. As one friar wrote, at the heart of the life of the Trinity is the mutual delight of the Father and the Son, and the Son and the Father, who is the Spirit. His delight is sharing His delight. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that God's project for you is joy? Jesus explained it. No greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. Do you let Jesus call you friend? Or do you say, I'm unworthy? God in Jesus delights in loving you. The Austrian Catholic philosopher Joseph Pieper explained Jesus' joy so well and so simply. He said, love loves to love. Love loves to love. Why won't you let the God of love simply love you? Or do you simply measure yourself? So I beg you, don't think that pain pays sin's penalty. God does not rejoice in suffering, and certainly not in His Son's, but in the love that carries others' pain. We are saved not by Jesus' suffering, but by receiving Jesus' love and life into us. Isn't that why we have communion? It is a love greater than sin, a life stronger than death. It is the triune God Himself. Yet too often we are like the women in today's gospel. So they went out and fled from the tomb, seized with trembling and bewilderment. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That is a strange ending and a stranger reading for Easter Vigil. But yet this was the original ending of Mark's gospel. It was so strange an ending that later copyists added a shorter and a longer ending in the second century. So what is Mark doing with this ending? At first glance, I don't get it. These women have been brave enough to follow Jesus, faithful enough to come to anoint Him, confident enough that someone would move the stone. These women were courageous. And now they're afraid? Really? If this were historically accurately true, then how in the world did this gospel even come to be written? If no one delivered the message. So what is Mark doing with this ending? It doesn't make sense unless Mark was concerned not with history, but with a problem that his Roman Christian community faced. A problem we still face today, yes, even at Stanford. Too often we're like the women. How often are we tempted to be silent about our faith, our prayer, our experience in Christ? We've such good news, but when was the last time you actually shared it with somebody? Let's recapture the situation in which this gospel was written. Mark's Roman community had been living on an Easter high ever since Jesus rose. Everyone knew a witness or a person who had seen the risen Lord. The early Roman community experienced a heady rush of success and growth. They saw miracles and lived in a dynamic community. 10 years later, everything went terribly wrong. Times became dangerous. Christians became Nero's scapegoat for a six-day fire that destroyed nearly half of Rome. Persecutions mounted and hatred grew. And Peter and Paul were martyred. Meanwhile, in the Holy Land, the Jewish revolt had begun. War and death followed the Roman army as it marched from Syria to Jerusalem. Famine, pestilence followed in the army's wake. Jerusalem was captured, and its streets were carpeted with bodies as the temple burned. A whole way of life ended, and Jewish Christians became the object of Jewish animosity because they refused to fight. While Rome called them atheists and traitors, Mark wrote this gospel in turbulent times. This was not a feel-good moment. They needed to know that their sufferings and struggles, their ostracism and even deaths of their fellows made sense. So they rested themselves that Jesus had gone before them through death. And would they be willing to follow? Don't you see, Mark was challenging his community. Like the women at the tomb, they had been brave and faithful. Now they're tempted by timidity and silence. They heard good news, but now we're afraid to share it openly. That community rose to the challenge. Mark's Roman Christians chose fidelity, speaking their joy in Jesus risen. They conquered the darkness of their day by a fidelity that kept them focused on the Lord. Christianity grew and conquered an empire. But the young man's challenge to share the news remains. Christ is risen. You know, have you noticed that a love not spoken is less intensive a love? A joy that is not shared is less a joy. Good news not with good news withheld dims. Don't let timidity keep you quiet. Will you have a faith that shares joy? This year I challenge you to share good news, to share it with each other, to encourage each other. I recently read a book entitled Bearing False Witness, written by a non-Catholic, delightfully so, outlining all the popular myths about the Catholic Church. They're enshrined in popular culture. Yes, in university halls. No wonder so many are so timid. We don't even know our own story. It's an embarrassment that silences. You know, some in the church would have us do verbal battle. But confrontation is just another form of violence. When Christians go ideological, they become dangerous. God, they even attack the Pope. The medieval teaching of the church is that God moves by attraction, not by coercion. So should we. We are to be good news, not bad. The young man told the women, share the joy. Christ is risen. Your job, my job, is to make Christ's love visible by the love we have, the words we speak, the deeds we do. Share the joy. You know, Mark's challenge remains for us. Living the resurrection is a daily choice to be forgiving and life-giving. You are the body of Christ. You carry the risen Lord. This year, share the joy that you have in Jesus with someone, at least one. A joy not shared is less a joy. Now this night I will baptize, receive, and confirm. But it's really Jesus who is doing it. In baptism, he makes the baptized sons and daughters of the Father. In confirmation, he floods his Spirit, sending out to share good news. In Eucharist, they become united with sinew and blood of Christ himself, brothers and sisters to all humanity. So I want to thank all those in the RCIA. Now just think about it. Here at Stanford, these people took the risk of faith, the vulnerability of discovery. They didn't lock themselves away. They opened themselves up. And I pray that they see that each one of them is truly God-touched, and that if they allow, he will lead them still. They shared their search for joy, and it's wonderful to see them.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.